In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Humility will not get you very far in this world. And yet everyone will be humbled, either in this life or in the next. Everyone will be humbled by God to recognize what they truly are. The humble empty themselves of everything. Humility is the life that God has called us to live, so the humble empty themselves of everything. For they know that their stuff, their occupations, their friends, even their opinions do not make them better or worse than others. Humility, then, is not self-deprecating. It doesn't diminish the gifts of God, lest it despise its Creator. But it rejoices in the wonderful, tremendous blessings God has indeed given to us, some of which he has not given to others, even as it recognizes that all those things are nothing more than a gift from God to us, which we neither earned nor deserved. So the streams of divine love flow downward, not upward. Even the richest of men can live a humble life, recognizing that their wealth does not make them better, and that having less wealth does not make them worse. So humility is seen not only in one's relation to God, but also in one's relation to one another. We are quick to listen and slow to speak, for we realize that we have much to learn, and that we're not always right when we offer our opinions. We are not Lord of anyone, but we are servants of all. We do not get angry when rebuked, offended when others insult us, because we truly believe that, one, we're not all that important, and two, we are sinners who have failed very often in our lives. So how rare it is to find a truly humble person. Our sinful flesh will not allow us to sink down too far. We think we are rather good and great at many things. Those who have traveled, especially to remote places in nature or even to outer space, do recognize how insignificant and small we humans are, but a speck of dust on a speck of a planet, barely occupying 6 feet of space in a universe that stretches for billions of light years. And yet many more people view themselves as the center of the entire universe, that the whole world should revolve around them. It's the reason why we are bad at waiting. We have things to do, places to go, people to see. We can't sit and wait in line or on the phone or for a cable man forever. And if only those people knew how busy we are, they would let us go first. We think we're busier than they are. It is the reason why we all are quick to offer our opinions. Did you know that we would be a better coach than so-and-so? A better president or a better governor? That we know just as much, if not more, and our opinions are better than theirs. Never mind the fact that they are 10 times what we are. It is also the reason why we are quick to gossip. Now, gossiping is not telling someone else's problems when you're seeking to help them, but it's simply venting for the sake of venting. Complaining about people to simply complain, and so we sit in the judgment hall of our kitchens, venting to our spouse or to whomever's on the other end of the line about that person that we had to deal with today. And yet, are these not the ones that I gave to you, so that you might show mercy even as I am merciful? We judge others to exalt ourselves. Like the Pharisees, we don't want others to point the finger at us in our pride, but we want to be the ones to point the fingers. We want to be the ones to show them that they are not living the life they are supposed to live, that they're causing us a great inconvenience, and so forth. And so when Christ tells us to be humble, it really is a blow to our egos. We don't want to be humble. No one is as important as we think we are, not even us. And so to humbly bear the burdens of one another is a very hefty task that God has given to us. And there's a part of us, at times a great part of us, that wants nothing to do with that other person because they are simply a drain. But perhaps God has left them in your life so that way you are learning what it is to be humble, and you do live in love for others rather than simply for yourself. Perhaps you can offer them some advice, or perhaps nothing more than a smile or a word of kindness to that person who always causes you nothing but trouble. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Recognize the humble state of our nature, that we really are not all that important, not even to those around us. And so pride is really far worse than having dropsy. Dropsy is what the man had who sat in front of Jesus. Today we call it edema. It's the swelling of the body with fluids so that it often takes on a grotesque figure. Yet pride is still far worse than that. Pride is far worse than having cancer, terminal cancer, or than being deaf or blind. Pride is far worse than having a fatal disease, because pride is the cause of every sin. It is the reason why we exalt ourselves over one another and the reason why we often want to exalt ourselves over God. For every sin is a sin against the first commandment. We're choosing another God. And it's not Allah or Buddha. That other God is me. We want to do something. We want happiness, regardless of what the Word of God says. So we make ourselves gods. Pride led Adam to think he could be like God. Pride led King David to think he could get away with adultery and murder. He was above the law. Pride led these Pharisees to judge God himself. And pride leads you and me to irreverence, to complaining, to grudges, and anger, and impatience, just to name a few. So our Lord teaches us humility, and he does it through a parable. Understand that he is not offering you practical advice. That when you go to a wedding or to a restaurant, you ask for the seat closest to the kitchen. Then all of a sudden we'd be clamoring for the lowest place to see who could find the most humble place to sit in. And we'd fall into pride once again. Or if you're invited to someone's house, you don't offer to sit in the garage. You understand that's not how it works. He's not offering you practical advice. He is showing you how vastly different his kingdom is from the kingdoms of men. How vastly different the thinking of Christians is from the thinking of the world. So do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing. Nothing out of vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So yes, we do look to our needs. We don't forsake our body because it is a gift of God, and those around us whom we are called to take care of, we do care for them. But we also look to the interests of others, not just our loved ones, but even those people we have a hard time getting along with. What is best for them? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. The way of God is humility. Your certainty of salvation, the very reason that you are certain God has forgiven you and will give you heaven, is because God humbled himself to death. Though he was Lord of all, he became the servant of all. He did not exalt himself above anyone, though he was God Most High who created them. But he emptied himself of his power, his majesty, his glory, his honor, his praise. He emptied himself even of his own blood, so that in his humility you might find forgiveness for all your sins, including your sins of pride. So he who loves Christ will also love that humility of Christ. He who does not love Christ will not love Christ's humility on his cross. And he who is humble will seek to follow Christ in that same service toward one another. It won't get you very far in this world. The world praises ambition and motivation. How else could we get ahead without it? Christ praises humility. The world prizes self-promotion. How else will we get name recognition, or how else will people know of all the good things we've done? Christ praises humbling oneself. We work for others, not for ourselves. We work to be faithful, not to make money. We work to serve, not to simply get ahead in life or to have a better life. And at times, God may choose to bless us through that work tremendously, as he did Joseph, who became the second ruler of all of Egypt. Or Daniel, who himself was a very close advisor of the king of all of Persia. So how can we not live in humility when those men who were tremendously wealthy lived humble lives? How can we not look out for others when our God himself came down from heaven to die the death that we deserve? Can we grow angry with others and their demonstrations or policies when our God refused to retaliate? Should we go on social media and gripe and complain about all these injustices when our Lord silently went to the slaughter as a lamb? He who exalts himself in the eyes of men and in the eyes of God will be humbled. We pray it's in this life, because not one of us wants anyone to be humbled in the next life forever. So do not flee God. Do not flee this humility. Set aside your pride, for the more that you flee from God, the faster God will chase you, and he will catch you. If not in this life, then in the next. So stop. Turn to your God in repentance and in faith. And yet when you stop, God will drive his spear-tipped law deep into your swollen, prideful heart. But as you sink down with nothing to hold on to and no place to flee for refuge and nothing to save you, you sink down into the pierced hands of your Savior. And his bloody forgiveness covers you from head to toe once again to make you white and clean and pure and righteous. And he saves you. And in that humility, he then exalts you to the very heights of heaven, where he will set you on thrones in heaven to, yes, even judge the angels. The life of a Christian is a life of humility, and it is God who will exalt us in the proper time. We will not always find it here on this earth. At times we may, but not always, even as our Lord still humbly comes to us in consecrated bread and wine. But then he does come to exalt you, even now. For he says to you who are far off, "Friend, come up here. Don't remain so far away. Come up and eat not only at a closer table, but eat from my table." And you, the unworthy guest, approach the very table of God to receive God's food for your salvation. You, the unworthy guest, are served by your God so you may set aside this life and all of its problems, and yes, even its joys, so that you may boast solely in the Lord and find your comfort and refuge in the life that he has won for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.